I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 32. And I'll read a few verses here concerning Jacob wrestling with God, or wrestling with an angel of God, or the angel of God, alone. And sometimes we feel very lonesome when we're in trouble, like Jacob was in trouble. But anyway, I think we can be encouraged this morning in our prayer life. And Jacob was left alone in Genesis 32 and verse 24. It says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the break of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let thee go, except thou bless me.' And he said unto him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.'" This passage of Scripture reminds us of struggling, so to speak, with the Lord in prayer. Though I really think that the Lord was struggling with Jacob, because Jacob was resisting the Lord's will. But I think that we need to be encouraged in our prayer life, that our prayer life is not something that is vain, though sometimes we have a very difficult time understanding all about prayer and what is accomplished through praying. Because I think every child of God has been disappointed in his prayer life somewhere. We didn't get what we wanted or what we thought we needed. And so therefore we were frustrated in calling upon God. And there are times, just like David thought, God must not be listening. He has forsaken us. The heavens are brass over us. And so every believer, every child of God has struggled with their prayer life. And I think that we need to understand what we can expect from God. One thing that we can expect from God is that God is in the business of waiting. David said, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." And we are encouraged to wait on the Lord, to be of good courage, and He will strengthen our hearts. And again, He encourages us to wait on the Lord. Praying is waiting upon God. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus spoke a parable unto His disciples, "To this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." One of the things that praying does for me, and I think will do for you, is it will keep you from fainting. It will keep you from quitting. We need to learn to endure. And if you don't get what you pray for, at least you're not quitting. And that's one of the, to me, that has been one of the real bases of encouragement from that verse, is that praying will encourage us to keep on in our walk with the Lord. So we ought not to faint. "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." We have studied in the past the life of some of the details of the life of Esau. Esau was one who fainted. And he lost the blessing and the birthright. So there, we need to be encouraged to be in prayer and not to faint. Prayer is private too. There are times when we pray in private. There's times when we pray in a corporate setting. In Matthew 6:6 it tells us, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father, to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee." So there are times when we need to be alone with the Lord. It's amazing what you say to the Lord when you're alone that you won't say to the Lord when everybody's listening. And we need to be able to pour out our hearts unto the Lord. We need to have that confidence that we can share with Him the deepest secrets, because He's not surprised. He knows them before we talk about them. But we need to be encouraged to talk about those deep secrets, those deep hurts, and those secret sins that have entered in, have crept into our lives. We need to talk to the Lord about them and confess them and forsake them. Corporate prayer is important. In Acts chapter 12 and verse 12 it says, "And when he," that is Peter, "had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying." This is when Peter was in prison. They had executed James. And they were about to execute Peter. But let me just... one thing I want to say is this. Praying is not voting. You know, if we can just get 1,000 people to pray for us, we're going to for sure get what we're asking for. Praying is not voting. We don't need 1,000 people to pray for us when we need an answer to prayer. When Peter was sinking after walking on the water, he didn't call back to the boat and say, "Pray for me, I'm about to drown." He looked up to the Lord and said, "Lord, save me." And the Lord did. The reason I'm saying this is this. Is that your prayer is significant to God by yourself. And you don't need to depend upon many people praying for you. Even though there are times when the body of believers gather together to pray. In fact, Paul said, "Pray for me that an open door of utterance would be provided for me." So corporate prayer is important because it includes the family of God to know what God is doing and trying to do, and to be involved in what God's plans and purposes are for the body of believers. In verse 5 of Acts 12 it says, "Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing." They were concerned about Peter. And they were praying without ceasing. That doesn't mean that they didn't stop for dinner. This word "without ceasing" is an interesting word. It means you can't help but pray. There was a letter, I think, written back in the days when the Koine Greek was an active language. And it was a girl had written to a soldier, a Roman soldier, saying that she had a cough. And that she coughed without ceasing. I had one of those coughs when I went up to Brunswick, Maine. I was in the Navy and had caught a cold. And I coughed all night. I could not keep from coughing. That's what it means. It wasn't that I didn't want to quit coughing. I just couldn't quit coughing. There was a tickle in my throat. There was phlegm in my throat. And I just had to cough. And I had to cough. You know, there are times when we just have to pray. And we can't help it. We just pray the Lord. And particularly if something is hurting in our bodies, we're reminded to pray more often, aren't we? So the church prayed without ceasing for Peter. And there are times for individual prayers. I'm just thinking about James chapter 5 and Elijah. "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man does count. It makes a difference." But notice that it says a man who is just. The word "just" means obedience. Be obedient to the Lord. The Lord does not respond to a child who is disobedient and rebellious. It's the prayer of a righteous or a just man that makes a difference. Elijah or Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And I like that. That doesn't mean that I'm a super spiritual prayerer or super spiritual child of God. It's just simply a common child of God can make a difference in praying. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Now, he wasn't praying something out of the air. God had said that if you turn away from me, I'm going to make the heavens stop raining. I'm going to turn the heavens into brass, and I'm going to turn the rain into dust. So for him to pray this was praying the will of God, because that's what God said he would do if Israel would rebel against Jehovah or God. And so he prayed earnestly, and for the space of 3 years and 6 months, and he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Praying brings results, and you don't need to be extra special for your prayers to be answered. In Genesis 32, in verse 24, it says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day." God created this problem for Jacob. He told Jacob, it's time to go home. He had been in Charan, in the up around Iran, Iraq, up around in the northern part, up in the Euphrates River. And he had gotten his wives and his children, and they were heading, and God told him to go home. It's time to go home. And he left without making any arrangements with Laban, his father-in-law. And when he had left the land of Canaan, he left with Esau hot under his collar, saying, "I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. He stole my birthright and he took my blessing." So he had his father-in-law mad at him, and he knew that he was going back to a place where he was not going to be too welcome. You know, sometimes God creates situations for us to encourage us to pray. We may not like them, but you know, sometimes we get lax in our prayer life. And God allows certain circumstances and situations to arise that creates us, well, in this case, it created fear. It created the fear because Jacob was afraid of Esau. In verse 7 of 32, it says, "Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed because of Esau." And then in verse 31, Jacob answered and said to Laban, "Because I was afraid, for I said, peradventure thou wouldst take by force thy daughters from me." You know, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. He hasn't given us the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption. Did you know that fear brings us into bondage, but prayer releases us from that bondage? Prayer helps us to remember the promises and the blessings of God upon our lives. And we need to do that. Because when we embrace and believe the promises of God, we are released from the bondage of fear. God had already encountered Jacob in when he left Canaan. Remember Jacob's ladder and all that? And God said, "I'll bless you. I will be with you. I will bring you into the land. I will bring you back." God had already promised his blessing upon him. But you know what? I'm sure Jacob had already forgotten about that until he got encountered this angel that he wrestled with. And sometimes it's difficulties in our lives that bring to remembrance the Word of God and his promises to us. And I think this is what we see in Jacob's life, in particular at this point. It seems to me that Jacob was resisting this man whom he was wrestling with. And when he, that is, the man or the angel, saw that he prevailed not against him, that is, Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. He provided Jacob and an infirmity. I tell you what, lower back pain is an infirmity, isn't it? And to have your hip out of joint or feel like it's out of joint. You sure don't feel like wrestling much. But obviously Jacob did. And of course Hosea tells us in chapter 12 verse 4 that he had power over the angel and he prevailed, yet he wept and made supplication unto him. Now he didn't pray concerning Esau. He didn't pray about that at all. There was only one thing that Jacob wanted, and that was a blessing from him. And God had promised him that he would bless him and that his seed would inherit that land, and that blessing has not been revoked. That Israel will inherit that land. But the thing that I think of here is Jacob received an infirmity. God afflicted him by causing his hip to be out of joint. And that reminds me of 2 Corinthians 12, when Paul prayed, "Lord, take this thorn from me." And the Lord said unto him, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." And Paul said, "Most gladly therefore will I rejoice in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me." And that's what Jacob, what God was doing with Jacob. He was inflicting him with an infirmity so that he might endue him with the power of God. Because he changed his name to Jacob, or to Israel. You will have power with God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 tells us that we do have a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our what? Our infirmities. So we find Jacob being inflicted with an infirmity. And then we find Jacob in verse 26 of Genesis 32 saying, "Let me go," the angel saying to Jacob, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." In Genesis 32:9 it says, "And the Lord said unto me, Return unto the country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee." He says, I'm going to take care of you. And yet Jacob's not reminded of that right away, but the Lord had told him that. In verse 12 it says, "And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." And what was Jacob afraid of? He was afraid that Esau was going to kill his wives and his kids. And where God said, "I'm going to make your seed as the sand of the seashore." That couldn't happen. God intervened in the life of Jacob all along, even as he was in the land of Haran. The Lord intervened on Jacob's behalf time and time again. Laban changed his wages 10 times. And so the Lord was taking care of him, and he said he would take care of him even when he was leaving the country. There's a prayer in the middle of some genealogies. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 is a very difficult passage to read because it tells who begat who and who begat who, and these are the sons of. But you know, right in the middle of that, in verse 10 of 1 Chronicles 4, is a prayer of Jabez. And it says, "Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed." What did he pray for? He prayed for blessing. You remember what Solomon prayed? For wisdom. Not for things. Not for money. Not for long life. "I want your blessings upon my life." Was that the prayer of Jacob? Yes, it was. Bless me. Bless me. And it says, "If you'll bless me indeed, it'll be just like enlarging my coast or giving me more inheritance. And it will be like, and I will know that your hand is with me," is really how the Hebrew brings this out. "And that I know that you will be keeping me from evil." Just like the Lord told His disciples when He says, "Pray that to your Heavenly Father that He would not lead you into what? Temptation, and deliver us from what? Evil." But notice that it says here that it would not grieve me. We're not going to be delivered from every difficulty we have. But it doesn't have to grieve us. It does not have to cause us sorrow. Because sorrow and grief bring us into bondage. But prayer delivers us from the bondage of fear, and we don't have to fear that. We can confidently trust the Lord. And you know, it says that, and God granted him that which he requested. That's an encouragement to me. He granted him that request. Now, Jacob said, "Now I want you to bless me." And so the angel asked him, says, "What's your name?" And he says, "My name's Jacob." You know what he was saying? "Jacob, you old lion so-and-so, you don't deserve the blessing. You know that none of us deserve God's blessing." And he was reminding Jacob, "You don't deserve a blessing because you're a supplanter." In fact, in Hosea, it says, you're the one who grabbed your brother's heel. You're the one who tripped up your brother. And you took advantage of him when he was faint. And fed him the prophet's food and so forth. But he's saying to Jacob, "You don't deserve this, but I'm going to change your name to Israel. You're going to be a prince of God. You're going to have power with God and with men." In fact, his father had already given him power over men. He says, "The nations, you shall rule over nations." That is in the 26th, I think it's the 26th chapter of Genesis. "You'll rule over nations, you'll rule over your brothers, and you'll rule over your mother's children." So, you don't deserve it, but I'm going to give you a blessing. Again, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And in Jacob, we see him all night in prayer. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ spent all night in prayer. Before he chose the 12 apostles, he spent all night in prayer. How? Alone. Praying alone. Prayer is important for decisions. If you make important decisions without prayer, you're putting yourself in a vulnerable position. So we need to pray. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, "Pray and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." The word ask and seek and knock are all in the present tense. And the present tense implies continuous action. The aorist tense is a dot. The present tense is a line. And we're to continue to be in prayer. And this is a command. This is in the imperative. It's a present active imperative, and it means that the active mode tells us the subject is to be doing the action of the verb, asking and seeking and knocking, and this is a command, and we are to be active in doing these things. In James chapter 4, in verse 2 and 3, it says, "Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because you ask not." Did you know there are times when we ask or we don't have because we don't ask? And that can happen. Yet there are times that we can have things that we've asked for that we don't need. I'm reminded of the children of Israel. They said, "Lord, we loathe this light bread." They didn't like the manna. And the Lord had withheld from them flesh. And Israel said, "We've got to have some meat." And the Lord sent in quail. And they ate quail for 30 days. Have you ever eaten quail for 30 days? I don't know what a quail meal cost down at the Radisson. Or. But you know what? While they were eating the quail, it made them sick. You know, there are times when we get things from God that God doesn't want us to have. You know what it does to us? It makes us wish we didn't have it. So there are times when God does grant our request, even though He doesn't really want us to have it. But He teaches us lessons in it. And there are times when we struggle for things that we shouldn't have, and we war for them. We fight, just like Jacob did. And but it wasn't until he was afflicted And he wept, and he made supplication for blessing that God responded. It says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. For sometimes we want to consume it upon our own lust, our own desires, things. Now, how can we be assured that our prayers will be answered? Well, I wanted to share with you some verses that I think will be helpful in our expectation in our prayer life. In John 14:13, it says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I heard a story one time where a little boy came up after Sunday school and told the preacher, he says, all of us and our Sunday school class are going to have bicycles for Christmas. And he said, oh really? He said, yeah. He says, is your teacher going to buy them for you? And he said, no. He says, we prayed in Jesus' name, and we're going to get those bicycles. Let me tell you, we don't understand what we're doing when we're praying in Jesus' name. We end our prayers in Jesus' name because we have been encouraged to pray in His name. But you know what it means to pray in Jesus' name? To pray in Jesus' name is simply saying this, that what I've asked for will glorify the Father and the Son. And if it won't do that, you aren't going to get it. It's got to glorify the Father and the Son. Now, there are certain things that just come. He reigns on the just and the unjust. He provides for the world. So there are certain things that He's going to take care of. Yet the Lord desires for us to ask for our daily bread and look to Him for our daily sustenance. But when we are praying in Jesus' name, we are saying, Father, what we have asked for will glorify You and the Son. It's very important to be careful what you're praying, because there are times when we pray for things that will not glorify the Father and the Son at all. In John 16:23, it says, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. In my name. Repetition means emphasis. And again, if we ask it in His name, He will give it you. But again, we have to compare Scripture with Scripture, and it has to be in the light of the fact that it will glorify the Father and the Son. Another verse of Scripture I use in my prayer life is John 16:24. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name, ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Well, a lot of people will like to apply that. You know, if I just get what I want for Christmas, I'll have full joy. You know, I'll really be happy. And so you tell mom or whoever what you want for Christmas, and you get it. And that's not really what he is asking or what he is telling us in this verse in John 16:24. What we ask in His name has to glorify the Father and the Son. And the full joy that he's referring to here is in Matthew 25:23. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You need anything? You need something that will help you to be good and faithful servant? You know what? You've got it. Because being a good and faithful servant to the Lord glorifies whom? The Father. And you know what? You'll have full joy at the judgment seat of Christ when He says, well done, and enter into the joy of the Lord. When you need something to do God's will, you have it. In fact, we'll find that later in 1 John. But let me just say this. In John 15:16, it says, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He may give it you. This is a verse of Scripture that says, hey, He may not give it to you. He may give it to you and He may not. Because God has plans and purposes for us. My thoughts toward you are thoughts of peace and not of evil. I have a plan for you. And there are times when we ask for things that will honor and glorify the Father, But it's not what God wants for us to do. It was the will of God for George Mueller to have an orphanage. And it glorified the Father and the Son. You know, it's not God's will for me to have an orphanage. For me to pray to have an orphanage or to establish an orphanage. Today, anyway, it's something that God is going to give me. And so there are times when He will give us things when it has to do with His will. And I think this is the reason why we have the passage in Mark 14:36 where it says, "And He," that is Jesus, "in the garden said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto Thee. Take away this cup from Me." What cup was Jesus about to drink? The cup of crucifixion. The cup of His disciples running off and forsaking Him. He says, if it's possible for this cup to pass, yet, He says, nevertheless, not what I will, but what Thou wilt. In our prayer life, we need to be concerned about praying about the will of God for our lives. And when we're praying about the will of God for our lives, then the other things take care of themselves. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of Him." Well, those are some pretty interesting "we knows." If we know that He hears us, we know that we have prayed according to His will. I think one of the most significant times in my life, and in particular in my prayer life, is when I was talking to the Lord about my wife. And He said, "She's yours." Didn't say quite that way. But I knew, without a doubt, that she would be my wife. When I first saw her, I had a date with blind date with her roommate, and it was really strange. Jean was a little late coming out, and we were sort of around talking, and when she came through the door, the Lord said, "There's your wife." But that wasn't, I hadn't prayed about that. Even though I had heard it, I sensed in my heart or my mind or wherever it was that there was my wife. It wasn't until I was on my knees, not just once, but many times, praying about the situation, that the Lord said, "She's yours." And it was the will of God for us to be together. And so, therefore, that happened. When I'm praying about the will of God for my life, I'm praying verses like Philippians 2:13. "God is working in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure." You know what I pray? I pray, "Lord, help me to respond in a positive way to this good work. Help me to do that. I want to do this. Give me the will. Give me the heart. Give me the strength to respond to You working in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Philippians 2:16, "Holding forth the word of life, that I might rejoice in the day of Christ, that I might have full joy in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Did you know that our lives can be in vain if we have sold ourselves to sin and to self and the things of this world? I want to hold forth the word of God. I want to rejoice in the day of Christ, and I say, "Lord, help me to run according to Your will, and help me to labor according to Your will." I pray about these things. Romans chapter 8 and verse 27 tells us that the Holy Spirit is praying for us concerning what? Verse 28 or 27 says, "And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." That's what the Holy Spirit is talking to the Lord about. His will. And we need to be talking about His will for our lives. And then all the things that we need will be added. All the things that we need. Epaphras prayed for those at Colossae that they might stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And that's what we need to be praying too, that we might stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. You know, even in the Lord's, or even in the example of prayer, where it says, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. That's what praying is all about, is praying for the Lord's will. But let me say this. There's an incident in the life of David that I want to close with. It's very significant to me, very important to me. You remember David and Bathsheba? I guess how can you forget that? I guess it's on the screens and people like to talk about the things, those kind of things today a lot, particularly from a biblical perspective. But anyway, you remember that David and Bathsheba had a child. And Nathan the prophet came in and confronted David about that situation. And he said, he told him the trouble he's going to have, and he also told David, that child's going to die. That child is going to die. But in 2 Samuel chapter 12, David had been praying and fasting for that child. And he already knew what God's will was for that child. He knew that the child was going to die. And yet we find David praying and fasting for that child. And the verse that I remind myself a lot of is verse 22 of 2 Samuel 12. Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me and that the child may live? You know, you can be, you know, you may know what's going to happen, but that's no reason to quit praying. You may know that it may be in vain for you to pray because you know what the will of God's going to be, but that's no reason to quit praying. David didn't quit praying even though Nathan the prophet told him the child was going to die. Who can tell? Who can tell that God might be gracious to me and spare the child? I'd encourage you, as I encourage myself, to pray without ceasing, to not faint in our prayer life, but to wait upon God that His will might be done in your life and mine. Father, we just thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the illustration of Jacob, who didn't deserve to be blessed, yet You blessed him. We know, Lord, that we don't deserve Your blessing, but we want to thank You for them. We thank You, Lord, for the lessons in prayer that You have given because You have invited us to pray and not to faint. We know, Lord, that there are times when we pray about something only in the daytime, and when things don't respond, heaven seems far away, then we begin to pray day and night. We know that Your Word tells us that You bear long with us, yet You will avenge speedily. You will bear along with us so that You will receive maximum glory. And You will respond to our prayers that we might receive maximum benefit and blessing. So Lord, help us to pray and not to faint. And help us, Lord, to be concerned about doing Your will and not having things or position or power or money or long days or good health. But let us, Lord, pray confident that Your will be accomplished and You will perform the thing that is appointed for us, and many such things are with Thee. These things we ask and pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.